Welcome to 3 to 5 Guys, Boxes and Fries. My name is Phil Salter, and today we have Lovell, who's been on here multiple times, but we got something special. My brother, Matt Salter, is joining today for the first time, and since he's never listened, he has no idea what he's in for. This is a prank podcast. You've been pranked. I couldn't think of something funnier. So thanks for joining, Matt. Thanks, Lovell, for joining. It's the three of us today. And first of all, I like to share something that I've been kind of into lately, something I've been watching or listening to. And when I go to the gym in the morning, I always start with my buddy Max. We go to the gym. We always start with 5 minutes on the elliptical machine just to kind of get things moving, you know? And I always watch a movie during that 5 minutes on my phone. And I get the movie done 5 minutes at a time. It takes a while, right? But this movie I've been watching on Hulu is called Fighting with My Family. And it's one about like they're like in England and they want to be like WWF wrestlers or whatever. And it's actually pretty fun. It's definitely not like going to change your life, but it's kind of funny. And I'm only like 5 minutes times 4 days into it. So
going strong.
Yeah, going strong. Maybe even 30 minutes into it. I don't know. So I just want to remind anybody to review the podcast, particularly in the Apple podcast app. That's the best place you can like write and read reviews for the podcast. So if you haven't done it and you're listening to this, please just scroll down to the bottom of the podcast page and you can just do a star review or you could, that's rating it, I guess. And a written review would be awesome. And if you write a written review, we'll read it on the podcast. So I was having a conversation with Lovell during lunch and we were just kind of talking about just some things that we're working on, like personal projects, things we're doing, things that motivate us. And I kind of mentioned, you know, I got multiple things I want to be doing. Like I want to focus on improving myself as a developer by working on like a cool side project as a developer. I also have this photography business that I try to build up in the evenings. And I'm like, I want to do both, but it just seems like, am I stretching myself too thin? How do I handle doing all these things, and is it even realistic to do so? And I was like, it's really hard. It's a problem to solve, you know? And some of that kind of led us to this conversation of problem solving. And I was like, hey, stop. Let's talk about this today instead of what we were going to talk about in the podcast. So I guess I'll just kind of open up to you guys. Like, what are some things you've learned? Or how do you address problems in your life?
Well, that's fun. It'd be good to go back and kind of revisit what we were talking about during lunch. The topic started off, we were talking about learning software development. It was our topic we went into. Mm-hmm. And how there's so many things you can learn in software development that it's impossible to learn everything. But what you can learn that will apply everywhere you go is how do you solve problems? And in software development, that is, hey, I tried to make this button that I clicked on do this thing. It's not doing that thing. How do I start problem solving, troubleshooting this? And so then you open up your console, you go look and see, is there any errors thrown in this log? And if there are, how do I follow that? And how do you get more efficient at following this trail of problems until you get to the root cause of the problem? And so you become more efficient at that, and that will apply to every aspect of doing software development. We're talking a little bit of how that applies to more than just software development, how you can use that at home. Let's say like your sink's clogged. You're like, well, I got to figure out what's wrong with it. And say, well, what's the symptoms? I turn the water on, it doesn't go down. Okay. Does all the water in your house not go down the drain? Oh, all of it's still going down the drain. Okay, so it must be just this sink. And then you're able to come in, look it closer, follow the tubes and tell you, like, you see, like, maybe it's leaking underneath or something. But you start help troubleshooting and diving down into what's the root cause of the problem that you're dealing with. I feel like that starts to apply to lots of different things in your life of how to just take steps at solving problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I love it. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I'm trying to digest what he just said. That was pretty profound.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, huh?
Not bad. Yeah, that was like literally what would be in a textbook. For me, I probably have different problems that come, like mine are mostly either emotional or have to do with my business. You know? And I mean, just from a basic standpoint of what I encounter every day, you know, most problems from my perspective are, I mean, it's either really they're not that big of a problem or there's a simple solution and our emotions just get in the way, you know? And if you really kind of just remove your emotions or this desired outcome as a distraction, then you can usually solve the problem fairly easy. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Lovell.
I like your point that you're bringing up there. Like there's an emotional problems and then there's like logic problems. The logic ones are pretty easy because you can just follow it down and here it is. But the emotional ones aren't rational at all. So you can't logically solve an emotional problem.
Yeah.
What do you do to help like set those emotions aside, or even tougher, how do you focus on somebody else and get them to realize that their problem is emotional, help them set that aside so you can really focus on the problem?
Yeah. And this really, this is kind of why I said before we started recording here, you know, it's one of my favorite topics, and maybe I'm a little too serious about the topic because it's like really resonates with me. I have to write down like almost like a brainstorming session. Like I'll write down on a notebook and I'll probably set aside like 20 minutes in the morning if I'm just really have something I'm struggling with. And I'll write down three things. I'll write down lies, problems, and solutions. And this is how I kind of dissect the emotions and so logical and emotional problems, and then kind of figure out what I could do from there.
You said lies, like L-I-E-S, right?
Yeah.
Lies, problems, and emotions. Is that what you said?
Yeah, lies, L-I-E-S. And what I mean by that is, like, let's say this is not a question I've asked myself recently, okay? But let's say you just say, you know, nobody cares about me or something, right? And you're like, whoa, like that's pretty intense, right? And you say, okay, well, so that may be like an emotion that's banging around in your head and you don't even necessarily know it. And so you go write down exactly how you're feeling or exactly what the issue is. And you say, okay, well, I feel like this right now. And then you're like, okay, well, if I cease to exist, is anybody going to care? Right? And obviously the answer is yes. They're going to care. My wife's going to cry. My kids will be upset because they're not going to have food tomorrow, right? And then you can further dissect. You're like, okay, that's a lie. What's the root of that, of why I'm feeling that way? It's like, well, really, it's just because my wife, you know, maybe my wife was distracted on Instagram this morning instead of listening to what I had to say, right? And so really the issue is, okay, I just need to express to my wife that I need more time off of phones. Yeah, I mean, like that's, you literally can dissect to what actually caused that emotion and then make it into like one action that is usually pretty solvable.
Interesting. So you're saying even though on the surface we could see emotional problems, it's just like, they're just this mysterious thing you can't get a hold of. But it's like, really, if you spend enough time, you can break it down. You have to track it back, it sounds like, to what's really the problem, not like what you think is the lie you're telling yourself about the situation, but there's something else at play. Like you said, that made me, my wife not paying attention to me this morning, what made me feel like I wasn't worth something. But you didn't necessarily know that on the conscious level until you dug into it, right?
Exactly. I think that's one of the biggest problems that we don't, and from emotional side, that's the biggest problem is we don't recognize what we're really feeling. And so it's like that's why I have to put pen to paper to actually write down. And it sounds like a negative affirmation, like I'm writing down, nobody cares about me on a piece of paper.
Yeah, like, stars and a rainbow under it. Yeah.
I hope nobody walks past me and sees this right now, right?
Mind your own dang business.
Wow. No, I like that. That's really good, man. Like, so ultimately, I think what you're saying, the tool here that someone could try to employ is what? Like, just really think about it and try to like be honest about the situation and ask questions maybe about like, why do I feel this way? And what's happened to me lately that would make me feel this way?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like overall, my thoughts are just like, try to dissect it and put pen to paper and just kind of, you know, because when you do that, you're going to actually realize why this is an issue for you right now versus, just kind of like a bunch of emotions and ideas bounce around your head. At least that's what happens to me.
That's great. I remember that, some years ago, I was like a graphic designer, so I wasn't really doing a technical job. And then I decided to make a career change, and I decided I was going to do kind of like a support role for the software company. And it was kind of a scary change. I was like, I want to get more technical skills. And I remember like before I did that, I just felt like when I see problems, particularly technical problems, let's say something was wrong with my computer, my printer's not working. I'd just be like, I don't know what to do with this, you know? And I would just feel like problems were really hard to solve, particularly technical problems. And then I learned from experience, I had enough like things that I guess evidence in my life as I solve problems, like, oh, I can solve problems. Problems are solvable. All kinds of problems are solvable. And something I started saying, I almost started saying this trying to convince myself, but I remember I'd come across a problem at work that was technical in nature. And even as I became a developer, a problem that I'm like this, it's completely like foreign to me. I have no idea where to even start. And I just say to myself out loud, every problem has a solution. It was almost like I don't know if it was like a mantra or an affirmation or something. It's just like, I'd say it and I'd believe it, you know, it's like, no, there is a solution to this problem. This is a problem, which means there's a solution, right? Like something caused the problem. So I got to go to that cause. And there's the solution, you know what I mean? So it's like, just realize when you come across problems, a problem's only there because something caused it, you know what I mean? And that means that thing needs to be addressed.
What if, here's a different scenario for you, because that situation you're talking about is something was working at a time and now it's not. What about, hey, I've never tried this thing before, or I've never seen anyone do this thing before. I'm going to try it. How do you problem solve something with that same mental mantra of, I can figure this out. It is possible. What do you do in that situation?
So you're saying like maybe trying to find a solution to something that's never really been addressed before? Like,
yeah, you're breaking ground on something brand new.
That's a good point. That's a different spin on like a different type of situation versus, yeah, like not something that was working now isn't. That's interesting. Like, because it's true. Like you really need to get down to really what is the problem, right? Not just, you don't want to get to the solution before you really understand the problem, I think is where you start. I don't know. What do you think?
I know what I do for like projects and doing software development. It usually starts off with I have an idea. I wonder if I can blah, do something. An example, like I wonder if I can draw on a video. It's an old example. It starts off with a question, and I honestly don't know if I can or can't do it. Mm-hmm. I go, I have an idea. Like maybe I can use this tech mixed with this tech. And then I'll try and prove out the little steps here and there. Like, oh, I can do this piece. I can do that. Oh, this one doesn't work. Maybe if I try this idea, and it's a lot of pivots on these little tiny ideas until I feel confident enough that all the little pieces that I had questions about are addressed. Then I have that mantra in my head. I'm like, I figured out the small bits. They all work. I just got to put them all together and this will work. It's not working. Keep going on. I know it will work.
So you're kind of finding like, hey, individually, I know these things work. Now the problem is how to get them to work together. So you kind of have, it's kind of going forward with a certain amount of faith or information that gives you the confidence to not give up, right? Like, because if you feel like, oh, it's not going to work out, if you don't believe it, then you're just going to stop trying, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of works with any idea too. I mean, maybe it's maybe you're trying to find funding for your business. And maybe that's your biggest fear of starting a business idea. And then you go, well, you know what? Research how to find that money, how to find investors or how to raise money from friends and family or whatever. Figure that out right up front. Prove it out. See if it will work, if people would be interested in an idea like that. Don't actually go get it from them, but figure out if it's something that they would be interested in. And as soon as you get confirmation there, you figured out that one piece that was holding you back from working on your project. Now that's solved. Now you can go do the rest. So,
yeah.
Good idea.
Well, that reminds me, you know, really I think the key with any of this is you just got to get your hands dirty. You got to start working something out, you know? Like, have you heard of that case study where they did an experiment and they showed, you know, a group of people, they're like, your number one task is to complete the perfect pot on the potter's wheel. And just do one perfect pot. And then they go to the other group and they say, just pump out as many pots as you can. And which group do you think popped out, or, you know, which one do you think had a more perfect pot at the end?
I mean, I can guess it's the one that did more pots, right? They ended up with...
Yeah, right. And so I think that's the point, is that we, you know, probably get a little scared to start jumping in there because you're going to make a mistake. And you know, I'm not a software engineer, but at least in my business, you know, if you just sit there and you're trying to wait for the perfect moment or the perfect solution, I mean, you kind of follow the principle of physics. It's like, there is no perfect answer. You know, there's no perfect solution. There's no perfect part to a car. It's like, there's just going to be something that will work well. And the sooner you get your hands dirty and start figuring it out, the sooner you come up with that solution that will function.
I like that a lot. It is a lot of times it's fear of messing up or not feeling like you're going to be able to solve the problem. So you don't even try. It's just, right, give it a shot. I mean, generally your first attempt at something will not be the right answer, but you won't know that until you try it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Absolutely. I think that's so true. I think that's something I struggle with, is like when I want to try something new, it's like, I want to wait till I feel like confident enough in my approach or this or that, so that I won't make mistakes or I'll minimize the mistakes. But really, if I took those ideas and just started immediately and worked and ironed out and worked through the problems, oh, I made that was the wrong approach, let me backtrack a little bit, try this other thing, I would ultimately be further faster. So I think that's a really good point for sure.
I mean, put in a cheesy saying, where they say there's no such thing as failure, only feedback, you know? I mean, cheesy, but kind of true.
Oh, for sure. Like, anytime, it's all feedback. It's like when I remember I worked for a company that I got laid off of. This was like coming up on probably a couple of years ago, just some funding fell through. And so they, you know, not just happens, right? These things happen. And I did a lot of job applying, a lot of interviews. I remember just looking at that situation and say, you know what? By the time I get my next job as a developer, I'm going to be so much better as a developer. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be focusing on improving. And every time I went to an interview, I would try to think, what can I learn from that? You know, and I remember getting feedback from this one place I applied for. They gave me like something like, build this basic thing. I built it. They didn't really love what I did in my approach. They thought I could have done things better. They said, hey, you're about 6 months out from really being at the level we would want you to be at. And then I remember I was just like frustrated when the guy called me, like the recruiter guy. And I just like, cause I was, you know, I was getting frustrated. I was like, you know, I want to get a job. And I remember just like taking a breath and being like, okay, well, what did you get any feedback on, like what I could have done better? And then like, I remember him saying, you know what? That's a great question. Let me get back with you. And he ended up emailing me with some specific feedback and things that I was like, I could totally apply. And I was like, all right, now I know a way that I can do better in the next interview. So every time I failed an interview, I just let myself realize, hey, this is an opportunity to learn how to do better at the next interview. So it's not always easy, but it really helped.
That's right. Absolutely.
I like that. Building on top of what you've learned.
Yes. So, well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate the conversation. It was awesome having you, Matt, and Lovell. You're always awesome. So if you guys want to recommend any topics for us, we'd love to have the recommendations. You can email us at boxesandfries@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Boxes and Fries. Until next time, thank you for listening. Yeah, thanks. Say bye-bye, Lovell.
Bye-bye.